You know, in our current presidential race, there's a very obvious feeling, maybe if I'm, you know, you're talking to people that are more moderate, not the extremists, but there's a feeling of bewilderment, you know, among many of these voters questioning both candidates' abilities to be able to lead. You know, people either despise one and find the other one a little less satisfactory than they would like, or they just don't know who. They're picking the worst of the that will, or somebody that probably won't hurt as much. But overall, and you know, even talking to us coworkers that do vote, that do get involved in this, there's an idea that they just don't really know what is happening. Why is this all that we have for people to pick out who should be leading this once great country? Well, it's obvious for those of us that have ears to hear and eyes to see of why this is happening. It's very plain if we look in the Bible. To begin with, let's turn to Isaiah 3. Start getting an answer to why we are given these kind of people. It just goes to show even more how close we are to the end times, that the types as prophesied, what will be given to Israel to rule over them. Isaiah 3 and starting in verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah, and we could we'd show this being even the descendants today, the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base toward the honorable. And we can see right there the similarities we had with ancient Israel of those days, and we can see why, as we read on, why they were given rulers like we have today. Continuing in verse 8, I want to read from the Common English Bible for a few scriptures here, because it really brings out maybe some of the more modern language and kind of shows maybe even some of the characteristics of these people. And starting in verse 8, yes, Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen, because the way they talk and act in word and deed insults the Lord, defying his brilliant glory. And that's key. Mankind today, everybody that we see is defying and insulting the very God of this universe. And in verse 9, their bias in judgment gives them away. Like Sodom, they display sins in public. Doom to them, for they have done themselves in. And we see that. We turn on the TV, and what we see is Sodom of old, and fragrantly displayed upon TV. In verse 10, tell the righteous how blessed they are. They will eat the fruit of their labors. And that's you and I, brethren. We must be striving to be those righteous. But in verse 11, doom to the wicked. They are evil. What they have done will be done to them. And in verse 12, in the New King James, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. Why Israel was given people like that to lead over them are the same reasons that we are given people like that to lead over us or this country. Mankind is suffering from a spiritual terminal illness, a condition that, if not corrected, will lead them down a path of no return. Mankind will despise God. Mankind will not, when given the chance. We know some people will not choose to follow after God in the final judgment. Satan is doing everything he can today to push people into that frame of mind. You know, it's our lack of godly sight, of godly vision, of godly understanding, that seeing the world as God sees it, of not seeing it like that. You know, if we don't have godly understanding, we're not going to see the world. Mankind will not see the world, see its potential, see the reason that we are here like God sees it, and like we see it, because we have had our minds opened. But understanding the change, we turned and went a different direction. We saw the world differently. We may have tried to convince others of how we saw that, and it's impossible unless we have that understanding. You know, because at some point, we have that option, because at some point, we sought after God. We had a desire while we were being called to be like God, to embrace God, all that He is. We sought, as we learned, as we grew, the first thing, and that is God's kingdom. That is God's will. That's what Christ proclaimed when He was here. He preached God's soon coming kingdom. So what does it mean then to have a lack of godly understanding? And we see the results of what this world was happening to it. You know, mankind alone cannot set for themselves a correct standard. Only God can. You know, we can just look through all of history, all of the biblical narrative, to see the truth in that mankind cannot figure out for themselves how to live properly. It's with God's influence that mankind can find true happiness and true understanding. You know, it's easy, if we look through the Bible, to see examples of how Israel, how God's chosen nation, was going off track, how they lost their vision, how they succumbed to the desires of the world around them. Well, why? What was the reason that they did it, and how can we change and not fall down that path? Well, a large part is those that were supposedly given this godly understanding led the people astray. In Isaiah 28, read about a group of these men who had one particular problem, as mentioned in this section of Scripture. It left them unable to lead properly. Isaiah 28, starting in verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys. To those who are overcome with wine, behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, like a tempest of hail, and a destroyer, a destroying storm, like a flood of mighty waters overflowing, who will bring them down to the earth with his hand, skipping to verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating, swallowed up in drink. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filth, no place is clean. Skipping further down to 14. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, who rule this people, who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. You know, those, in that specific example, those who were drunk could not, and who were intoxicated could not lead Israel. And you can analogize that too, that people that are blinded and drunk by this world, even for us, can lose that ability as well. Isaiah 29, the blessed was lost for those people because the priests and prophets lost it first. Isaiah 29, and starting in verse 7, the multitude of all the nations who fight against Ariel, even all those who fight against her and her fortress and distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hunger man dreams and looks. He eats, but he awakes and his soul is still empty. Or as when a thirsty man drinks or dreams And look, he drinks, but he awakes, and indeed he is faint, and his soul still craves. So the multitude of all the nations shall be who fight against Mount Zion. And in verse 9, pause and wonder. Blind yourselves to be and be blind. They are drunk, and not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep, and he has closed your eyes, namely, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely, the seers. The whole vision has become to you like words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I am not literate. Therefore the Lord said, Insomuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. You know, this world has been blinded by a deep sleep, even, as we read in theirs. They cannot understand because of how they have intoxicated themselves with this world around them. It was the same for these people, and it's the same for us, for this world. People can say that they profess God. This world, this country is full of people professing God, and yet none of them, the majority of them, know nothing about God. You know, it is God, as we read in there in verse 10, that gives us, that allows us to have understanding. Or he can close that off. He can close our eyes to that. Well, self-will, deciding how we are going to fulfill the will of God on our own way, is a disease. It's a festering disease that creeps in subtly, and it destroys what might have been true understanding with anybody that gets near it. The same way you catch a cold from somebody that is in the room with you. It's something you can think and try not to be part of it when you're in that room, but you know, in that same way that we can capture, we can take in disease like that, God will leave us, or lead us, give us over to debased minds if we refuse to continually seek him. He gave Israel over to debased thoughts and to debased mind, and those prophets, because they forgot whose will it was they were serving. The false prophets, and one inclination is when they were telling the people not what God wanted them to know, but what they wanted the people to know. Letting the people hear what they wanted to hear to satiate them and not God. Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14, starting in verse 10. Thus says the Lord to his people, thus they have loved to wander, they have not restrained their feet, therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offerings and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And I said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies, sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord, concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, who I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in this land, by sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them, nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness on them. You know, people believing in what these false prophets, what these false ministers preach today because it scratches or itches their ears are just as guilty as those that are spreading those lies. God will give people that accept what pleases them and doesn't please the will of God, God will give those people over, including God's chosen people, over to debased minds if they do not continuously follow His will. You know, the false prophets of our time, all of those that we see preaching in God's name, but having no knowledge of God based upon their words and what they are saying, have built huge, vast followings by telling people not what God wants to hear, what God's will is necessarily, but telling people what they want to hear. A positive Christianity. People that preach what makes people feel good. You know, this exact false understanding of God has been around for all of human history. Jeremiah 23, the people were warned not to listen to false prophets, otherwise, as we've even read in here, that they will share in their punishment. Jeremiah 23, and starting in verse 11. Prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore, their ways shall be to them like a slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall on them, for I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal, and caused my people Israel to err. Also I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and their inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood. I will make them drink the water of gall. From the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They will make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed it and performed the thoughts of his heart. And that's key there. God's will is what is being executed here, is what is important in this world. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. And those that is speaking to us, brethren, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them away from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But we don't have people like that, except for a small few of us, proclaiming these words. Our countries, those nations of Israel, are not listening to that kind of preaching. They're satiating their own desires. And that's why, as I said before, that's why we have leaders like we do today. It's self-will. You know, those who deny God's will by speaking their own will, which covers most of humanity, forget that God's will is fundamental. It's what keeps this existence going forward. It's what makes life exist. It brought about the existence of this world just by his thought, by his words. And it doesn't pass away. It didn't pass away. God's will did not stop being prevalent and important once he created this all. You know, it's key for those of us who understand this to understand that this physical life isn't all there is. There is much more important. There's much more important future for all of us. In 1 John 2, you can read of this. 1 John 2 and starting in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And that's what this world is focusing on. That's why we have in our countries, and the Israelite countries have leaders like we do. And verse 17, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That right there, following after the will of God, is the only thing that will live on, that matters in this existence. You know, many in past generations leading up to our present forget the purpose of what godly understanding means. And simply put, we are here to fulfill God's will, not our own. When that key understanding is lost, or worse, when it is ignored for the sake of filling our own will, God will remove his understanding from those he has given it to, from his people. He did it as a nation to Israel, and he will do it to his people who are spiritual Israel, who have his spirit residing within them, if they forget and they focus on their own wills. Ezekiel 12, starting in verse 1. Ezekiel 12, starting in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity, and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. By day you shall bring out your belongings in their sight, as though going into captivity, and at evening you shall go into their sight like those who go into captivity. Dig through the wall in their sight and carry your belongings out through it. In their sight you shall bear them on your shoulders and carry them out at twilight. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the ground, for I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. So I did this as I was commanded. I brought out all my belongings by day as though going into captivity, and that evening I dug through the wall with my hand and brought them out at twilight, and I bore them on my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, What are you doing? Say to them, Thus says the Lord of God, This burden concerns the prince of Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are among them. You know, a rebellious house cannot truly see or find God. You know, another example of those saying they have godly understanding, but really and truly lacking it, can be found in Micah, starting at verse 3, or chapter 3. Micah 3, starting in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, My people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him, who puts nothing into their mouths. Therefore you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and they shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abashed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. You know, the false prophets, while they try to make temporary pleasure for the people that listen to them by telling them what they want to hear, we know that that is fading, that it truly doesn't, it's not lasting. You know, God made through his prophets, through his priesthood, but when they erred, the people suffered. And they erred because they lost that understanding of God. They suffered from a spiritual sickness like our country suffers from today, because they sought to fulfill their own will and not the will of God. But, you know, not all of those prophets, not all the priests of that time failed in delivering the true revelation of God. Many understood the will of God, lived by it, and more importantly, blessed those around them because of it, standing, because they submit to God's will and not their own. So what is godly understanding then? Well, it's manifest not by our desire to have it, but by our desire to submit to God. You know, God's will isn't what we think it is. God's will is what He reveals it to us to be. And that can only be understood by completely submitting to God. Turn with me to Daniel 2. I want to read about one of those prophets that blessed those around him because of his understanding. One of those that did not err, did not follow after the evil of his generation. I want to read through quite a bit of this chapter just to get a good feeling of this remarkable man, some of the things he went through. Daniel 2, starting in verse 1. Now the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that it held the king his dream, so they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have had a dream that my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever, tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation. And that's pretty much the exact same thing of any of those places you call up to get your fortune read. You tell them what you really think, and they'll tell you something that makes perfect sense once they know the answer. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretations, you shall be cut into pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretations. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. And it probably wasn't a bad thing what that Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do with all those false teachers. But of course Daniel was caught up in that because he was considered one of them. And in verse 14, we see why Daniel was considered a man who followed after godly counsel and God's will. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king his interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decisions known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven, not from their own, but from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven That was the key. Daniel didn't rely on false interpretations. Daniel was one of those prophets who stood up, who sought after when something bad was presented before him, something bad to the point of death. He sought after God, as he should have been. In Daniel 2, verse 46, we know the story between that, what he does. He can go, but he understands what the king dreamt. In verse 46, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king and set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. So those prophets, when they are prophesying correctly, when they are following after the will of God, can bless those around them, can help their nations. But as I've said before, as we see from our country, we don't have leaders that are doing that. But imagine what kind of leaders we would have in this country if we had people behaving like Nebuchadnezzar and we had people like Daniel put in charge. Well, it's not too far off in the millennial rule that we will have that. We are at times, so we might see that sooner than we could imagine. So why was Daniel given this ability to understand? We know he sought after God's will, first and foremost. So he was, God was working with him. Let's read in Daniel 10, starting in verse 4. Daniel 10 and verse 4. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of upaz. His body was like beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to me, and I retained no strength. And yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was to the ground. And in verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright. For this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come key to why Daniel did what he did. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. You know, are we angel, how we are, explain to us how, because of our following of God's will, how we are going to be used by God. You know, if we're reading this story, I always almost give chills to think that this archangel or this angel fought for 3 weeks to reach Daniel, to give him that message. And Archangel Michael came down to intercede, to help him. You know, is God's angelic realm fighting Satan's kingdom to help strengthen us today? Are they fighting back Satan's plague, Satan's influence today because of us, because of our willingness to follow after God's will? Well, I think the answer is yes. Are they continuing to do that? Are we letting some angels, are we letting some people, some of that realm, you know, did? You know, Paul displayed a very possibly being stoned to death. Acts 14. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength at his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had old, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitude. Paul out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men like the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witnesses, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And when these things they could scarcely, or with these things they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them." So here's an opportunity that they, well, we know Paul's attitude, he wouldn't have taken into this, but that, what was their reaction? They, that was the least thing, bow down before them. But the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered round him, he rose up and went to the city, and the next day he departed from Barnabas to Derbe. That didn't stop Paul from fulfilling the will of God. You know, we do good to let them know that what comes from God is not actually from ourselves, or do we, as many humans, as many people who profess to be true disciples of Christ, take a little bit of that in, point to themselves a little bit? You know, fulfilling God's will takes personal action, not delegation. Something we have to do, we have to be actively part of. Daniel risked his life, put his full trust in God in granting him that vision. Paul was stoned to the point of death in this instance. We know he went through a lot of beatings and things, but he was stoned to the point of death following the revelation of God, not of his own. You know, it probably would have been safer for him at that point not to rile up those crowds, not to make a big point of drawing attention to himself. Paul ignored his own safety, as he did many, many times, and sought only to please God. You know, Paul knew very well the sickness that would overcome someone if they did not follow after God's will. In Acts 28, and starting in verse 26, "Go to this people and say, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it.'" You know, the Jews rejected Christ's message. And Paul, when they had done this, when they would not follow after God's own will, he went to the Gentiles. And Paul knew through all this time who it was that was keeping him spiritually healthy, who it was that gave him the ability to understand the revelations of God. Luke 4, the one man that could point to himself, who truly was deserving of pointing to himself, Luke 4, verse 16. So when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And we enclosed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all those in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded from his out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Christ knew who he was. And yet when he was tempted by Satan, when he had all of that power that he could have, not allowed himself to be hit by a rock, by jumping off that building, what did he do? He pointed to God, always. You know, Christ made that way possible for each and every one of us to grasp after the will of God. You know, we have God's Spirit, which is paramount to fulfilling God. Actually, it's necessity for fulfilling God's will. And having that vision, having our eyes opened, is only possible when God's Spirit is working within us. So what are we doing then to show that we have that desire to God on a daily basis in God's sight? Well, first, some ground rules. Luke 16. Luke 16 and verse 13. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now the Pharisees these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves. God knows you. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." You know, we shouldn't have any problem seeing what is esteemed by mankind and knowing what to stay away from. Once God has opened our minds up, once we understand and are following God's will, that road is easier to navigate down, because we shouldn't be constantly being pulled away from understanding and following after God's will. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12. Hebrews 4 and 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divisions of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him to whom we must give account." You know, all actions we have will be accountable before God. And it's vital then that we are making sure that our ways are acceptable to him. In our judgment, as we go through this on a daily basis, as we are proving to God that we are and we want him to be in his family, have to be focused on his will. Otherwise, we are going to fall away. We are going to be blinded. We're going to have our minds drunk with this world's pulls and desires. God does, it's not that he's all will be saved. There are just some steep and necessary requirements for that. 1 Timothy in chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. "All men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." It's kind of hard to pray for those that we see trying to lead us and trying to maybe even persecute us in the near future. But that's what we're required to do. And God says we will have peace if we do it. You know, God first looks at our hearts. And once we are acceptable in His sight, we can have our minds and we can have our ears opened to understand His truth. But it's only when God sees that in us, like He did in Daniel, when He sees that He's going to open up and give us His Spirit in all fullness. It's not going to happen if we just want to do it for our own means. Acts 8. Acts 8 and starting in verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. In my hand is the Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Simon was interested in what I can do with my hand, what he can do to help those that need God's help. Brother, while our heart is not right, which can happen to any of us, we are not suitable in God's sight. We are not fulfilling God's will. We are suffering spiritual sickness when our hearts are not focused on God's will. Because we're under the cancerous influences of Satan. Because that's the only other state we can be in. If we're not fulfilling God's will, we're fulfilling Satan's. We aren't. You know, despite mankind's unrelenting ability to ignore and to distance himself from God, the Creator still desires that we come to an understanding of Him, that all mankind comes to an understanding of God. Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah 9 and starting at verse 9. You saw the affliction of your fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the red sword signs against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land. For you knew that they divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded the hand of Moses your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst and told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you out of Egypt, and worked great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light. They should go. You know, the people were being led by God. They were arrogant towards God. And still, this unending patience that God has for them and for us, we see what God's will is, that all men, that He still is going to be that pillar, that He still desires to be that influence in mankind, no matter how bad mankind gets, God still has that desire that we should all seek after Him. You know, we will always have God leading us if we heed the warning that Paul gave to the Corinthians. This will be my final scripture for today. 2 Corinthians 4. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen, or the things which are seen, are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Seeing God for who He is and understanding our part in His eternal plan is within the grasp of each and every one of us, brethren. Very few in this world have ever been able to say that. Very few of in this world have ever been able, have been given the opportunity to attain this joy and this blessing. Praise God for this opportunity.